Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Are you ready for reason number 5? Most of you, I think, will know what I'm talking about. We are looking, over the last several days now, at 5 reasons why Christians ought to support biblical missionaries. All of the reasons are found in the 3rd Epistle of John. They are all found in verses 7 and 8, the verses that we are looking at this time. This is a very important subject, and one that is often overlooked by many of God's people. There are many, many teachings in the Word of God, and teachings about giving are sometimes ignored, and particularly those teachings that tell us that we ought to support biblical missionaries are often overlooked, but they shouldn't be. And here's one of the places where that is explicitly taught. And therefore, we need to give it careful attention. That's what we've been trying to do on the Beacon Broadcast over the last several days. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, July 25. Thank you for helping us proclaim the gospel by means of radio. It does take the financial support of God's people to do that, and we are so very, very thankful to God for those of you who help us in this ministry. Well, as those of you who listen regularly already know, the 3rd Epistle of John, the shortest book in all the Bible, is written by the Apostle John to a man named Gaius. Gaius is clearly a committed Christian who has more than the average amount of financial resources. He evidently has a house big enough to provide hospitality for traveling Christian preachers, and he has a pocketbook, a bank account that's large enough to be able to help them financially on their way. And he has been doing that. And his reputation for doing that has come back to the church at Ephesus, where John is. And John is writing to commend him for that. When he says, "I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Beloved, you are doing faithfully whatever you do for the brethren who are strangers, who have borne witness of your love before the church. Please send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We, therefore, ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth." That's the section that we are looking at. So why should Christians support biblical missionaries? 4 reasons we've already considered. Number 5 we're going to be taking up today. But to review for those who were not with us on previous broadcasts, why should we do this? Number 1, because of the personal sacrifices which they make. Number 2, because they represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 3, because the world does not support them. They go forth taking nothing from the Gentiles. And number 4, because it is a Christian obligation. We therefore ought to receive such, that is, receive them helpfully, receive them for the purpose of encouraging, strengthening, helping, and supplying them with what they need to go on to their next assignment. And that's very important. And by the way, the best way to do this is through your local church. If you have a sound local church, then your local church no doubt has a sound missions program, and I hope it has the kind of missions program where you have the missionaries visit you at your church so that you can meet them and get to know them and help them personally, but I think it's best carried out through a general fund that all the members of the church contribute to and out of which missionaries are supported. You say, well, you don't think it's better to do it individually? One Christian individually supporting individual missionaries? I don't think that's the best way to do it. I do think there are some times when circumstances might dictate that being appropriate. I'm not saying that it's never appropriate, but I don't think that's the best way. I think it's always better when it's being done together in a cooperative way as a partnership, and there are a lot of reasons for that. But one of the reasons for that is because that makes the missionary accountable to a church, and it makes the missionary accountable to the spiritual leaders of the church, who are in a better position to evaluate that missionary and to recommend that missionary if he in fact is a sound one, and to continue to observe that missionary and stay in communication with that missionary to be sure that he continues to remain sound and is in fact doing the work that he was sent forth to do, and he is carrying out the mission that he reports on, that he says that he's doing. I could tell you some stories, and I'm not going to do that now. Missionaries are not perfect people. Missionaries are not angels. Sometimes missionaries misrepresent their work. Sometimes missionaries are not as diligent as they ought to be, and I can tell you that after 46 years of pastoring and working with missionaries, and I love missionaries. I love missionaries. I think you can tell that by what I've been talking about on the broadcast these last several days. And I'm delighted to be in partnership with good missionaries, and I love to visit missionaries on their field and to become personally knowledgeable of the work that they are doing and personally involved in the work that they are doing, preaching on many occasions to the people that they preach to, and getting a first-hand experience in the work that they are doing. I love to do that, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to do that with many of the missionaries that our church supports. And all of that gives the kind of confidence to our people that when they're supporting the missionaries that our church approves of and partners with, that they are making sound investments for eternity. We therefore ought to receive such people like these, such men as these. But what's reason number five? Because it produces a fruitful partnership, the last part of verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Fellow workers, the principle of partnership. We may become fellow workers. Not everybody can be a missionary. Not everybody can go, and not everybody ought to go. That's a mistake. That's an error. I have heard missionary presentations sometimes went something like this. The Great Commission is to everybody. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Therefore, everybody should consider himself responsible to go. You should only stay if you have a special call to stay. In other words, you don't need a special call to go. You just need a special call to be exempt from going. Otherwise, you ought to go. Well, the truth of the matter is, number one, that's not a good understanding of the actual wording of the Great Commission. I'll give you the correct wording in a moment. But number two, practical considerations dictate that if the majority of the church picks up and goes, there won't be enough support. There won't be enough people left behind to support them. But that kind of preaching, one of the things it does is lay something of a guilt trip on the people of God. If you're not going, you're being disobedient. Well, therefore, I'll give a little bit more to assuage myself of the guilt. Oh, let's not lay that kind of burden on people. Let's not be like Pharisees laying upon people a burden which is too heavy for them to bear, and particularly a burden which ought not to be laid upon them because it's not biblical. And that kind of attitude is not biblical. It's not the responsibility of everybody to go. And back to the Great Commission, properly understood, it is, as you are going into all the world, make disciples of all nations. It has the idea of, as God sends you forth, as God moves you around, as God, in the case of many of the first century Christians, scatters you because of persecution, hardship, other things, as you are going, in the normal course of life, make disciples of all nations. It's not saying that everyone has a specific call to be a missionary. It means that everyone has a responsibility to be a witness wherever God directs you, wherever God's providence takes you. So no, not everybody is supposed to go, but everybody can be a partner of those who do go, those who do have a special call. And that's what this is saying. We ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers of the truth, fellow workers, those who are working alongside, literally. You say, I've never gone to Africa. If you're supporting missionaries who are working in Africa, you are working alongside them, according to this text, the principle of partnership. And it's an opportunity for inclusion. We ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth, that we may become joint workers with those that we support, that we have this wonderful opportunity. The least can share in the blessings of the greatest. The ones that stay at home can share in the labors of those who go. It is a partnership, and we have this wonderful opportunity of becoming partners if we will. Now, all of this is understood that there is this overarching consideration. We become fellow workers of what? The truth. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth that governs everything. If these are not people who know the truth, who preach the truth, who represent the truth, then our supporting them is not required. In fact, it's forbidden, according to 2 John, verses 7 through 11. If the truth is contradicted, the support is definitely forbidden. But if they are people of the truth, then we ought to support them, and it's a wonderful opportunity to do so. We can make fruitful partnerships and share in the fruit of their gospel proclamations. We can form fruitful partnerships and share in the fruit of the churches which they establish and those that they strengthened. We can form fruitful partnerships that gives us some of the fruit of their biblical evangelism. We can form fruitful partnerships that gives us some of the fruit of divine blessing that attends those who are involved in this work. What a wonderful opportunity. And the truth of the matter is, either you will become a partner with the gospel, or else you yourself need the gospel. One or the other. If you are a truly born-again child of God, then you have a biblically mandated moral responsibility to become involved with those who are involved in proclaiming the gospel around the world. And if you are not involved in such a partnership, it must be that you need gospel workers to come to you. You need the gospel. You're either sending the gospel or else you need the gospel. Which for you? Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.